The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Hope you tune into my show, Untold with Maria Menounos, this Thursday night at 8 on E!
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Suns fans. Welcome back to another edition of the Sons of Anarchy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Talking about Season 7, Episode 11, Suit of Woe. I'm Matt Lieberman. Joining me tonight, Mr. Stephen Lemieux, as always, is right here.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Holding it down last week while Kevin and I were out. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I know my sniffling's annoying some people. Sorry, I'm a little bit still sick.
That's all right. Mr. Kevin Undergaro is here. Founder of AfterBuzz, and you're blown away by this episode.
Blown away.
And a very, very special guest, the lovely Miss Thea Trinidad is here with us in the studio.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Guys, first of all, can I just say how heartbroken I am that I was not here to talk about last week's episode, which...
You should feel heartbroken.
I should feel heartbroken.
You should apologize to the fans right now.
To all the fans, I do apologize. I was out of town, and I watched it and blew me away. And then tonight's was just absolutely stellar. I think it's one of the best episodes that they've ever done. You know, if you've been listening to the podcast all season, you'll know or you'll remember that at the top of the season we were a little uneasy. We weren't sure how it was all going to come together. We weren't happy with the fact that Jax was operating under false pretenses. And I just feel like I have the utmost confidence in where we're going with this finale. I feel like we've righted the ship. We are on the steadiest feet that this series has ever been on. And I feel like we are just propelling towards insanity. How did you guys feel?
Well, I guess I want to know, what do you mean by why do you feel it's steady? Explain that to me.
Well, here's the thing. I was concerned with the amount of episodes that we had left that there were too many loose ends to tie up, and because we weren't sure when the Gemma bomb was going to drop, I was concerned that there wouldn't be enough time to wrap up the series after we found that out, because a lot of things will fall out because of it. So the fact that we got that information at the end of episode 10, and we basically have confirmed that it is Gemma by the end of episode 11, gives us two episodes to find her, confront her, and bring her to her inevitable end, whatever it may be. Now, whether it is that she dies, whether it is that she goes to prison, I know that there's been a lot of symbolism of her behind bars this season, even in this episode when she goes to meet Abel, her behind the fence. So a lot of people are thinking that she's going to jail. I honestly agree with them because of the moment that we have with Jax and Nero at the end of the episode where he says that he can't kill her. And if he doesn't, the only other person who could possibly bring her to justice with a bullet would be Unser. But I honestly don't know that it would be him either. And it would lack the relative...
satisfaction to the audience?
Exactly. The satisfaction that knowing that she is the reason why this charter crumbled after she said everything that she was doing was for her family and the Sons were her extended family, the fact that she might have to go to jail knowing that she made her son meet Mr. Mayhem.
We were talking about this, you know, during a commercial break, and I was telling you why I don't think death is going to befall her, because death has come across everybody in this. But everyone has in some way been her pawn. Mm-hmm. Clay, every evil person... Mm-hmm. You know, either has been a nemesis to the club or a pawn, but she's been the puppet master, you know, the whole time. And, you know, we thought it was Jax that was trying to be the puppet master, but really it's been Gemma, right?
The whole time.
And that's why I think she doesn't get killed because we've seen that happen to so many other people. I think she needs to get something worse, which could be prison for the rest of her life. And which I won't say now because it'll be during predictions, but I think what she witnesses from prison is also she's going to have to live with not only having her freedom taken away, but what is the ramifications are on the outside because of what she's done. Her ultimate hell. That's what I think.
What do you think, Sia?
I'm so worried as to what's going to happen. It's weird because I like Gemma. As much as she's been so evil and done everything that she has, I do like her because I know that she's doing it for her family, and every person, especially a woman, wants to take care of their family, but...
Did you mean to say herself or her family? Are you
both. Both. You know, it's really complicated, but I feel like I understand her in a way.
It is complicated.
It is so complicated. But, I mean, she has, deep down, the right intentions, but going about it the completely wrong way.
See, and I think you're on the same point as me, Stephen. I disagree. I think that she's been saying it's for her family for so long that she doesn't even know when that changed.
I mean, the whole time she talks, she's talking herself into it. She's self-justification. Even to Nero, she's self-justifying it. And it's just...
Yeah, but we got a little bit of her origin tonight. So I'm with you, Thea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's great writing, because I see her pathos. I get where she's coming from. And we learn that Mom was named Rose, so it wasn't Mom. Notice that. It was Rose.
She's brought up Rose before.
But I'm saying she's not like Mom or Mommy or whatever. I'm just laying down some groundwork here. But delivered by a midwife who was a witch.
Mm-hmm.
But Dad, this was the church Dad liked to go to. So you see the devil and the angel within her.
Oh, and that's a good point because she was so anti-religion before, and now I feel like she's finally coming into accepting God kind of in her life.
Usually a lot of people do that when they're at the end of their rope.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's like, I wouldn't necessarily go so far as to say that she's accepting God. I think she has, in her own way, accepted fate, the fact that she doesn't really have any options. What I do like about the parents thing is that she has very little respect for her mother and a lot of respect for her father. And if you look at who she values in life, it has always been men.
And I wanted 12 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
12 sons.
Sons.
Right.
Thank you. Sons, which of course is a tie to Sons of Anarchy. And of course why Tara and all of them they're just extras in her way. I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah, that
I feel like everybody can kind of relate to her in a way. I mean, there are some people who don't like to take responsibility for what they do to protect themselves. So they'll come up with why it's always everybody else's fault or who they're doing it for. They find some way to justify it. You know, you can relate to that in some kind of way. So you can understand where she's coming from as a mother, as terrified now.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's actually interesting about how she self-justifies and how she tells everything's her being a good mother and everything's being a good mother? I find it so interesting that she's running away from Jax because she believes that he's going to kill her when on the opposite side, Jax is he's the product of her self-justification. She's the mom to him, and he doesn't want to kill her because she's his mom.
He still loves her.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing to me is she flat out says, whatever my mistakes, whatever I've done in my life, and I've done a lot of wrong things, I was a good mother. That I was good at. And you look at where you've put your son right now, and you're trying to tell me she is not completely in denial? She is not completely off that deep end?
No, I don't think anyone's saying that. She is in denial. She is on the deep end. Just what Thea is saying, and I agree with, is I understand how it got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all. I'm just saying. Yeah. She just was like, protect the club, protect the family, protect the sons, protect the grandsons.
You're absolutely
one awful decision after another.
Everything to extremes.
But she snapped on Tara because she thought Tara was taking away her sons.
Protect the family. Right. But it turned out she was wrong.
She was wrong.
And her priorities changed.
Sure, she's wrong, but in her head, I mean, she needed to do anything she could to stop her son from going to jail.
I know, but in her head, after...
And stop Tara from taking, you know, away those
her
kids.
Her son's right, because she wouldn't have seen any of them.
But after that, and this is what me and Matt are saying, is after that, her priorities were not everything as a mom, everything as a family, everything was to protect herself from that moment on after
she
killed Tara.
Okay, but what was she going to do? If she admitted to Jax, right, then
She thought she would be killed.
Can at least.
And by the way, no one's saying that this woman is capable of unconditional love. No one's saying she's ethical. The right thing to do would have been like, hello, daughter-in-law is a doctor, has ethics. I'm a scumbag. Do you know what I mean? Like, take the kids, go have a good life. But she's not a self-actualized person. She loves deep, and she's narcissistic, and she's got all those other things she has.
She loves fiercely.
But all we're saying is, I think, is that we understand why.
Okay.
She would, you know, I understand why. I myself would be like, no, I love my children so much. I want them with some. I want them to be out of harm's way. And to that point, Unser says this to Jax tonight. No, the right thing to do, son. Mm-hmm. You know, was to
get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, who knows if she thought he can even handle the truth, really, because she didn't even want to tell him about how his father really died. She didn't think he can handle it. So now,
are we going to find out more that she was involved
then there's
in that?
That.
Which I think she was. I mean, I think there's more to
that. That's one thing that we need to find out within the next two episodes. Mm. And, you know, we're definitely going to have a Jax and Gemma face-to-face by the end of the series, so I have to imagine we're going to get it in the finale. I'm just, one of the reasons why I'm so happy about this episode is front to back, it was packed with moments that we have been waiting to see all season. It alluded to some things that I think are very exciting for the finale. The reappearance of JT's bike is very, very exciting to me. Mm-hmm. I know, Kevin, you have a few theories on how that's going to play into the finale. And also, it's just so very interesting to see Jax and Wendy in the home together, basically bringing us all the way back to where we were before the series even started, before her heroin use got out of control, before she had the baby, before she was in the hospital, before Jax threw her out, when the two of them lived together and were at utter disharmony, and now they're trying to find some kind of peace. All the things that have happened in this series have not only changed the two of them ultimately, maybe for the better in some ways, you know, Jax in other ways, it's definitely broken him down to his core. But it also has taken care of some of the horrible elements in Charming and in Stockton. I mean, Kevin, you were saying during the show while we were watching, and this is very, very true, that whatever this false crusade has accomplished, one thing is for sure, it's wiped out a whole hell of a lot of the people who wanted to be dealing guns in Charming and Stockton, which is the problem that we've been facing since the beginning of this series.
When you make an episode like you did
With the school shooting in the beginning of season six.
You're making such a powerful statement that I feel like you have to answer that statement and cure that, fix it, address it, or say chaos is going to run wild because that's this country, it's messed up, and this is what guns do. But I feel like we're going to get one or the other. But it does seem like, in this weird way, Dodge is getting cleaned up through what we're seeing. There's only a few other we were talking tonight. There are some definitely riffraff still on the fringe.
Right.
But we've cleaned up a lot of Dodge. And that could be the ultimate irony.
Jax is still talking about setting up gun distribution, who's going to take care of it in this episode. But the vast majority of the buyers are gone. It's down to him and Alvarez and maybe Tyler.
Tyler, and they said the remnants of Lynn's gang.
Exactly, well, who they're going to be taking out.
Yeah, they're going to be taking them out. I don't think they'll be buying guns anytime soon.
Yeah. All right.
They'll be getting free bullets.
Yeah, that's true. Before we continue, we're gonna jump back in and start from the very beginning and try to cover as much as we can in the time that we have. I just want to really quickly mention iTunes. You know, folks, we say it every week, and only because it's the truth. The best way that you can support AfterBuzz TV and this show is to go to iTunes, rate and review the shows that you listen to or that you watch on YouTube. It is quick. It is easy. It doesn't cost you a single solitary dime and helps everybody out here. Did you know that AfterBuzz TV puts out the widest array of aftershow content anywhere on the web?
It does?
It does. We put out over 80 hours of aftershow content a week, and it is all 100% free. It is on three different platforms, video and audio, whatever your preference. So how can you pay us back? How can you support us? We need need your support. Our sponsors find our network and choose to work with our network because they see that our shows are well-reviewed and are well-downloaded. So when you rate and review those shows, it helps us get the sponsorships that keeps our door open, keeps our lights on, and it keeps our shows on the air. So go to iTunes, rate and review the shows. We thank you, thank you, thank you. You also get a great shout-out here on the show. I'm just going to read the titles of these because obviously we want more analysis. Riding Into the Sunset, 5 stars from SMAZ37. Love this podcast, 5 stars from AppWatch 11. Amazing, 5 stars from Oh My Anarchy. God's Supplement to SOA, 5 stars from Trianglo. Yay, from Lady A728. Thank you so much for all your support. Keep those ratings and reviews coming. All right, so
we're laughing at somebody. I'd like to do a shout out to who's that?
Joe Willie.
No, Renata underscore Denishada underscore.
Oh, that TV. Last one.
Steven is an imbecile.
Yeah.
yeah, that's not nice. No,
I mean.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
By the way,
I'm as good as two people, it says.
No, we all get hammered on these things. And also, but YouTube, too. We have fans. Yeah. YouTube people give a lot of good comments as well. And Alvathea will get a lot of good comments. Right?
Absolutely. So,
Steven, you are not an imbecile. You're awesome at this.
Yeah.
Ish.
You're an important part of what we do.
No, you're great at this.
Yeah.
Well, I love you on the show.
Okay, can I ask you a question really quick? Because I'm going to forget it. Are we going to get to the mole?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're gonna talk about it. I'll wait till we get to the mall.
All right, so we've already started talking about Jax and Gemma and this revelation. He's been up all night with Abel, and we see him with Wendy. She starts giving him just one piece, the juice piece. It all starts coming together, and he starts just this, not quite a manhunt, but he tears through every possible avenue to make sure that he knows what he's talking about before he brings this to the club.
It's like the Sherlock epiphany he has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, except it's an episode long and it's epic.
Yeah. There's no reason for Gemma to be hiding juice. There's no reason, unless she owed him a favor. And it all starts, the wheels turning, he visits Unser, and we get, I think, the first time ever that Unser is like, this is the last straw. This is the last straw. If you cross me again, like you've done in the past, you've burned me so many times, I will not help you or your family ever again. Mm-hmm. And a part of me is just sort of like, listen, I know that Unser is in love with Gemma, but he is a cop first. Tell him what you know. Was anyone else bothered by this?
Well, I think ultimately
he didn't want to believe himself.
I feel like he's loyal to Taryn now. I think he has been all season. I think that's why he's went back to working with Jerry. And I feel like that's the only thing on his mind. Your family, he means Gemma and,
But why wouldn't Jax, if it was about Tara's murder, if it could help solve Tara's murder, why wouldn't he share it?
Why wouldn't Jax tell
Unser?
Yeah, because he doesn't believe in himself. He doesn't quite yet.
Also,
really.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Remember the world he comes from. You don't go to the cops, and you don't go to outside forces to solve... See, Thea's gangster like me. You don't go to outside forces to solve your problems. It's solved in-house.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know? So I totally bought that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him, like, opening up to anybody.
He never really has.
Except when he sat with the club at the end.
And wouldn't it make him feel like a rat to get his mom arrested? Like
it's just right. It's just so not code.
It's not him, right? Either.
Okay. Well,
that's right.
He sets up a meet with Juice, and just this scene was so
intense.
I mean, so heartbreaking. Thea, how did you feel watching this scene?
It took everything in me not to cry.
Mm-hmm.
It was so difficult, especially because, I mean, I don't want Juice to die. I don't. And I was like, oh my God, you were so close. So close. And he kept saying it like, this needs to get done. This needs to get done. Once it's done, they'll forgive me and I'll be good. And then he just couldn't help himself. But I mean, in a sense, like I understood, like he wanted to right the wrongs of everything. Cause I mean, Jax deserved to know.
So I think ultimately he did the right thing.
He did.
And that's going to bode well for Juice, even in the afterlife, because he gets to go out
With a light soul.
Because even the way Jax put it, this gives my chance, my kid will now not have to have his brain untwisted by a team of doctors who are only going to twist his head more.
Mm-hmm.
Please release me from this pain, release my children from their pain and the future pain. And in the end, he did serve his commander. Mm-hmm. You know, in the end, he did. He, you know, he didn't have to there. He could have covered the tracks, and he would have got his jacket back. Think about mm-hmm. it. If yeah. you know, he killed Lan. He did. And he did the right thing in the end, and I have to think that that's going to bode well for him in some capacity.
Can I just say, like, from a directing standpoint in this scene, the way they worked together with the makeup artist to make Jax appear in this way, like, they didn't put eyeliner on, they put, like, a highlight under his eyes to make them pop more, and it's, like, really got the... It really made him more... You're more empathetic for mm-hmm. Jax in that scene, because yeah. he's done some pretty bad crap this season, mm-hmm. but, like, this kind of... You're like, he's connecting with the audience on a different level.
When has Jax ever worn eyeliner?
No, it's just they usually have makeup. Okay. But there was no makeup under the eye for that scene.
Just looks so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very...
And it was a masterful performance, both of them.
Yeah. Both of them. And you guys, it was Matthew, you said why these guys... should get Emmys clearly for a scene like that, but won't.
Yeah.
Was it you who said it?
Yeah, it's a combination of things, but basically, every year, Kurt Sutter gets upset because the show doesn't get nominated, and he goes off about the Academy. The Academy doesn't like to get insulted, so then they choose not to nominate the show again.
And also, let's think of the Academy. They're going to want your Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. your Mad Men. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want this male soap opera where people just get sprayed with bullets every week. But... when you think of this, I think the acting of Katie and these two, just top. You know, you just that's on par with
Thea Rossi.
That's on par with the greatest mm-hmm. acting that you see in TV.
Thea Rossi, sure. Charlie Hunnam. I mean, just look at Jax's journey across this episode, and it's one of the finest television performances I think in the last 10 years of just where he goes from just intense doubt all the way to. Every little bit of his masculinity breaks away until he can finally be vulnerable with the one father figure who, even though they have their differences, has never actually betrayed him. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
He's failed him several times, but finally there's one other man that he can actually let it all go to, and there's not even any of his trademark gravel in his voice. It's just pain.
Freaking Jimmy Smith's this episode, man.
Oh, that's so astute of you to pick up, Matt, though.
That's another amazing directing choice, mm-hmm. is when Jax finally chooses to tell someone what he knows. It is Nero, and to cut out the audio and just focus on him, put him right in center, big, right in the frame, as he hears and tries to process what Jax is telling him, is just a beautiful way to deliver this information. It is just a very, very clear, specific choice.
That's a show don't tell. That's mm-hmm. what we say. Mm-hmm.
And his lack of words in delivering the non-lines in the next few seconds were just...
Just watching the emotion just drain out of mm-hmm. Jimmy Smith's face.
And as
face.
He lets her go and he just crumples and starts weeping. Incredible. Like, just... Man, I just feel like we sat through, not that there were any bad episodes, but just with so much heartbreak and so much pain and so much tension and waiting for things to happen. And it's just, it's all worth it. Like, every single episode of this show, to get us here, I feel like we've all undertaken a journey as fans. I'm just so stoked to see this end game starting to play out. It's what television fans rarely ever get to see. It's rare that a show maintains its creative strength through a long run that it actually gets to finish on its own
terms. And
then finishes strong.
Right.
And we weren't sure, at least I was not sure, if it was going to end strong. The last two episodes tell me that these final four are very carefully constructed, and that the early departure of Ron Perlman, maybe it's not the same ending that we would have gotten if Clay was integral to the entire series, but I do think that it was planned and crafted with as much care as that original ending would have been.
I think it was. It ended up being to their credit to lose Clay, because it seemed, because all along Gemma was the puppet master.
Yeah,
this was her, like, almost like her dollhouse. That, you know, this world that she was building, this was like her perfect world of a motorcycle gang, and Clay was ultimately just a pawn. So he had to go at some point to bring it down to what it is now, which is the son, the spawn of John, the guy who started the club with good intentions. Mm-hmm. Those intentions were poisoned by Gemma. She was the cancer and the toxin, and now it's coming down to them. So it's To me, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just think it goes to show how far TV's come in the writing and how we can create a slow burn that leads up to an episode that really... The only super exciting from an outside perspective thing was the car chase, and that's the least memorable part of this episode for me.
Right. Yeah.
It was very dialogue-heavy, very emotion-heavy, and it was probably one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for, that you just can't... Entrancing episodes I've ever seen in the series.
Yeah. I've never been so emotionally invested in a show like this, ever.
Yeah, on the edge of your seat. One thing I do want to say about that car chase, though, and Kevin, I'm still not sure. We were both trying to figure out what they're referencing here.
There's a little bit of bullet.
A little bit of bullet, definitely.
There was definitely an homage to a lot of old car chase, vintage car chase movies, even the music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The jazz. It was just very unlike any car chase, any chase scene that we've had in the series, and it felt like maybe we're not going to get another chase, so they wanted to go out with the action team, with the stunt team, in a very clever and different way.
And by the way, Dodge, a sponsor, goes out in a great way, too, because that car looked hot.
It looked hot as hell, and it avoided everyone last one of those obstacles.
I really want to buy one of those.
You want a Challenger?
No, but I think every time I see the commercial, I want to buy one. And I'm like, oh, will I be a cheese ball?
No.
Because he looked pretty hot in that.
That was dope.
Right?
No, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're sponsors.
They earned their money.
Yeah, they did. Right? Because I'm like, oh, I've got to get to a Dodge dealership tomorrow.
So, as Gemma starts to realize that the noose is starting to tighten around her, she panics. And she's about to bolt, and we're all terrified for what's going to happen.
When she's got Thomas, I'm just sort of like, oh no. But to Thea's point, she doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She doesn't. She doesn't, you know, if she were that evil and demonic, she would have taken the kids and used them as protection.
Mm-hmm.
Or taken them to say, they're mine. Screw all of you. We're going to start a new life in Alaska. She doesn't. Chucky could have done something to him, right?
Yeah.
She didn't. So just interesting. So again, it just shows where the character is more gray than we think, because there's a lot of evil choices she could have made.
Right.
Yeah.
Like with Clay, it seemed like Clay only had a governor when it came to Gemma.
Mm-hmm.
On that, it seems like he would take those kids. Don't you think he'd use the kids as a shield?
Totally.
Gemma's the only person that he cares about.
And with Gemma, she could have done some evil, dastardly thing. She was a cornered rat, and she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of interesting.
That's fair. What'd you think, Steve?
Could have plugged Nero, maybe, and grabbed that envelope of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a lot of things that if she were as dastardly as some people think, she could have made some other choices. So I'll let you speak.
I think the people close to her, but I think if, just like we said, up at the cabin where she brought her gun, I think if Quinn had gotten in her way.
Or Montez.
Yeah, I think she
would. Or Jacob Vargas.
She would have knocked out those guys in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
And I think Chucky probably saved some lives by being a friend.
Chucky.
Yeah. That was a really interesting scene between her and Chucky, because everything's always her insulting him, but lighthearted insults. And now this is like. I accept that, and then kisses him and walks away.
And that's the closest thing that she'll ever deliver as, it's just like, I accept that. It's just basically saying, I accept that you are my friend. I'm not going to say thank you. I'm not going to say I love you. I'm not going to say any of that.
Right, except that you say we're friends.
Right. I validate that we are friends.
I thought she was just saying it because that was always what he said. Oh, I accept that. He always used to say that, so I just figured that's something that she...
Oh, good point. I didn't think about that.
You know? Mm-hmm. She was just trying to give it back to him, so...
An extra little something-something.
Yeah. But I think it's cool that... I think it was last week? He said... No, it was a couple weeks ago. Where he said, I know you think I'm just a joke, but I'm a really good listener. And he shows how much he cares for her.
And she's known. She responded and said, you're not a joke.
You're not a joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, it's like they can say, great. I mean, definitely the Black Widow, no question. She's caused all of this. But the way she was raised, the way she came up, she's definitely a messed up person, you know. I mean, but we've seen more evil on this show.
Yeah, that's true. She makes one last stop after she has her scene with Nero, where she stops by Abel and gives him JT's ring.
I love this.
For when you join the club, you'll have it.
So much to say.
He knows his tribe.
Mm-hmm. I hate. And obviously, I'm like, Courtney Love, call the damn cops. Four words. Call the damn cops. Or, let me try again. Call Child Protective Services. You have options at your disposal.
But she was gonna.
Yeah. Hey, Kev, I think there's a show in this. You know, we got Dance Moms. Let's get, like Hell's Angels moms.
Hell's Angels
like
moms.
Like the old ladies of the club.
Oh, shut the mics off. Can we cut that out?
Yeah, can we cut that out real quick?
That's a really good idea.
You're not wrong. Well, we'll have a conversation off air. I actually have a story about that.
But here's what I took from that scene. That was her... That was the last bit of Gemma and continuing the virus and the poison and the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the ring. Okay, I'm out. But I do love you. I'm disappearing. But this was your grandfather's ring. This is yours. This is what Daddy got when he got in. And her trying to perpetuate the madness, perpetuate this ugly cycle that started when I think she killed John or had something to do with his death. And I think in the next two episodes,
I think she could.
It should be revealed.
Yeah.
But I think that it was her last way of continuing the poison and the downward cycle, and that's why very strong opinions on what's going to happen in the next two episodes, which I don't want to say.
Can I throw out a prediction about how JT died?
Please.
Yeah. Jury brought up the possibility that JT killed himself. I think JT found out that Clay and Gemma not only were sleeping together, but were planning to take the club away from him and get them deeper into guns, and he was so depressed that he killed himself.
Hmm.
And I think that they cut his brakes or something because he was going to take them out of guns. And that was against what Gemma wanted.
No, I still think JT's death was related to his last will and testament, which was the thing he wrote, and he was counting on people reading it. And his suicide was the final signature.
So he killed himself.
I think he was trying to martyr himself to push through the reformation of the club to make sure it went in the direction he wanted to. But since nobody read it, He was a blind martyr. Like nothing, no cause was seen behind it.
You think
it.
He wrote that in the journal?
Yeah, I think everything was in the journal in those pages we haven't heard of.
It was meant to be read by the entire club, and for whatever reason, I think it was Piney took pages out of it. Someone told me that there were no missing pages, but Piney either gave him the book. Yeah, I think that Piney read it and ultimately made a decision not to share it.
Yeah, I think if that book had been shared at the time of his death, it would have had more impact on where the club was heading. And that's what JT's plan was. It was his last ditch effort to pull the club back on track.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that if that was in the journal, wouldn't Jax have said something? Like, wouldn't he know that his dad killed himself? I mean, then he was starting to write in his own.
Well, it doesn't make sense that he'd talk about killing himself. It'd be more of like... They read this and like, well, this was JT's last will before he died.
Mm-hmm.
We should carry through with this.
Yeah, it was only released upon the event of his death.
Okay.
So, you know, it's basically saying like, I killed myself because I wanted you to read this and have it matter. These are all valid theories.
Sure.
Hopefully we find out.
We need to talk about the mole. Okay, so we get to see Lynn get his quote-unquote justice, not really. And Juice, in this scene and in all the scenes before he comes clean, he's got this perverse level of almost giddy joy of just like, all right, this gets done, and then life can start anew.
I'm back in the club.
This is the Juice, the crazy Juice equivalent of The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music, of just sort of like, I'm going to let you go. Everything's going to be fine. You just got to tell me who the mole was. Was it Jury?
It was Jury, right?
Yeah. No. It was Borowski. Okay. Shuts off the phone. Doesn't even think to be like, you know, we really need you on camera saying that it was Jury, which is what I was expecting. I was expecting him to actually make sure that they got on camera what they needed to fool the rest of the charters. And the fact that they didn't is like a little just like in the back of my head like, huh. But at the same time, I don't know that Jax would have wanted to lie to the other charters to get out of this trouble.
I don't think Jax would have given that many details to Juice.
He also, I think, was so confident that it was Jury. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's true.
So you guys all thought that he was lying, right, when he said it was Borowski. But I was, like, thinking it was just Lynn, because Lynn is, it's like, the mole, like, yeah, it was Borowski, whatever. Now get me out of here.
It just felt like such a throwaway. And just here's my reasoning. I personally believe that Borowski is too focused on the on the foundation of his business and continuing to grow that business, the business being the dirty dealings of Stockton, that it doesn't make sense for him to burn the Suns, especially when compared to any of the other crews. Yes, they do bring trouble, but they've also been more loyal than anybody else. They've taken care of problems for him. You know, when I know that he was quick to kill the one guy who could have probably given him up in the episode following the West murder.
And Chibs gave that line like it felt like he was trying to confess, and you shut him up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason I thought it was Borowski, even with you guys' theory, it was Jerry and how August has cops in his pocket. Borowski is the cops. Borowski owns lands. He owns the port. August is a real estate mogul. Like, I feel like it makes sense that Borowski is the mole.
I just disagree.
You don't think it's over?
No.
No, I tell you what it is. It's, again, another bad guy is going to get wiped out, mm-hmm. conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lynn may believe it's Borowski, but then Borowski's working for Jerry. Or Lynn just threw that out there to whatever, protect whatever stake is. I believe it is Jerry, and because when Jerry opens her eyes right when Chibs leaves the room, I said, oh.
The look's all over.
Mm-hmm. There's something more cooking with this chick. And I think as a writer, where conveniently, I still go back to guys where the kids die and in the
shooting.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I feel like that was written by somebody that was very much against that.
Against gun violence.
Gun violence.
And
like
the fetishization of gun violence.
And he could take it one of two ways and have the series end where it's nothing but guns and mayhem, and that's Kurt Sutter's statement, like, you wanted guns, now you have it, now it's going to be guns. Great. That could be one way. But the way we see people, just every major mm-hmm. evil force is getting picked off.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this gives us another convenient way to kill Borowski. And then we think, God, we're over that hill. And then drama-wise, then we find out, wait, mm-hmm. there's still a rat? Like, there's going to... And mm-hmm. I think it is going to be Jerry. And I think that... I'll get deeper into predictions when we get to predictions, but I think that in the short run, it just seems like the bad guys are just all falling conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's leading us to a place where, hopefully, the gun trade will be gone from this neighborhood,
yeah.
this area.
I want to give my thoughts on this, but Thea, I want to turn to you first. Who do you think is the mole and why?
I think it's her, too.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I'd be more satisfied if it was. Mm-hmm. Cause just because, like, when you saw her open her eyes, it was like, ooh, that's interesting. But she might be a sicker version of, oh, what was that one redheaded cop?
Oh, Donal Logue, Torek, Lee Torek.
Yeah.
No, the other, the female.
Oh, Stahl. Oh,
Stahl, Agent Stahl, right? That was
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm.
She may just be just like her, but just more secretive about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because clearly, just within the sexual things that she's been with Chibs, like, she's into some crazy stuff. So, I mean, who knows? She could be a little more twisted than we all think.
I think so. And that's what's most interesting about this, is the Chibs factor. We even bring it up.
Marx is getting out, by the way.
Yeah, Marx is getting out.
Marx, who earlier on said, I have cops in my mm-hmm. pocket, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's getting out. We know this chick is twisted. You know, he's very slick and polished. Like, who knows if they're not working together.
Key moment of the episode for me. When Jax goes to Chibs and he says, what's going on with that?
Mm-hmm.
And Chibs says, no deeper. You remember that scene last episode where she pushes him to really invest in this thing, where she acts like she's got cold feet but then won't let him leave the room. She's giving him that push-pull. She's giving him the victory. She's standing there. She's going punch for punch to let him win her over so that she can get her grip in just that much tighter. This is somebody who has been allowing the Sons of Anarchy to wage a gang war, but not because she's corrupt, not because she is interested in letting the Sons do whatever they want or because she's incompetent, because, as you're saying, Kevin, it is wiping out a large mm-hmm. criminal element in San Juan County, and she is building a folder of evidence. She's putting them in a precarious position so that when she finally does decide to do her job, she not only has taken down the Sons of Anarchy, She's taken down all of gang crime.
And the only one to do it, too.
And the only one to actually catch anybody and bring them to justice. I mean, other than Lynn. But Lynn's now dead. Who's going to stand trial?
And wouldn't it be appropriate for a guy that has, if Sutter is a writer, this has been a very female-dominated show. You know, Tara and Gemma, two very powerful females. Mm-hmm. The most powerful person on the show is Gemma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be ironic, or not ironic, less than a coincidence, if the person to bring them down is a female?
Is a woman.
That's a great point.
I love that. And I just want to go back to when Jerry explained why she takes the money. Why does she take money from the Sons? It's not because she needs it. It's because that's what she needs to do to get them to trust
her.
Win
their confidence, yes.
Win their confidence.
Yep.
She has been playing this as a long game the entire time. She's felt off since she was introduced. What was her agenda? Her agenda was to get the Sons comfortable enough and allow them to commit all the violence that they had in them and then scoop them up in one fell swoop.
And again, how interesting that it's all done through Chibs, who's been such a force of loyalty and strength,
mm-hmm.
and for him to be the one that you know, is the conduit to have helped this along a little bit. I know.
Heartbreaking, though. We need some heartbreak on the Chibs.
I think she has another purpose. Chibs. I don't think she's the mole.
Okay.
I'm stick to my guns.
All right. Well, we're running low on time, so it is time that we go formally into predictions.
Let's do Mike's catches of the week, because he has a couple of cool ones.
He has a couple of cool ones.
Mike
August is a friend of the show, and so he sends us in his thoughts on the episodes as they air, and sometimes we read
them. We have an extra 5 or 10 if we need it, though. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Gemma's sitting at the head of her long kitchen table, drawing a comparison to Clay, Jax, and JT sitting as the heads of Sam Crow, as she wants Abel to inherit the head seat as she gave him JT's ring. It's kind of interesting watching the show. We said that, too, like how she's sitting at the head of her own table,
and nobody there, though, because she's chased everybody away with psychotic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw the shot of JT's blue bike being restored. Interesting to see if it plays into the end of the series with Jax riding it, namely, can Jax still fulfill his father's vision of the club? And then Gemma mentioned her mother, Rose. Next episode is entitled Red Rose.
Hmm.
So that's interesting.
And
I don't know, at the end of the episode, what did you guys think of that final scene with the street sign that said Eureka, Futura, and Providence?
Portenta.
Portenta.
So a portent is a vision of the future, and it's the closest. The closest of the three cities.
And Eureka is a reveal. Eureka
is a reveal. Mm-hmm. And Fortuna is fortune.
Fortune.
Good or bad. So it means that in the future, if we're really going there, it means that in the future, we are going to get, we are going to reveal the fortunes of these people for good or for bad.
And in a surprising way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's another. Let's put another penny in that Jerry jar, because that's far more of a Borowski. That would just be boring.
One more in predictions too.
All right. Well, let's get into predictions, shall we?
All right. Let's talk.
And now you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
All right, Kev. You're burning. You're chomping at the bit.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
So, Matt, you and I have been talking for the longest time, hoping that this would all be revealed to Jax with enough episodes to figure things out.
Yes.
We didn't want it all to happen on the last episode.
No, because it's too much.
No, what happened? Okay. So we have two more episodes, and it looked like through previews that Jax is going to go face Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say, you know, just he, you know, he's sitting with the other presidents, and to me, on the surface, it seems as though Jax is going to pay the piper for what he's done.
Yep.
Okay, a couple of things. One, that's very obvious. We're seeing, you know, clear. Usually in writing, it's a tease. So I think we're being misled. One. Two, we have two episodes left. Okay, so if it was just next week, I'd say, yeah. The bike, the JT's bike being restored. I think that, and I know you guys are going to disagree, but it's okay. I think that Gemma goes to prison and has to sit from prison and watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Unless she does the ultimate kind act to figure out a way to save the club, but I don't see that. I think that between next week, oh, excuse me, 2 weeks from now and the final, I think Jax is going to surprise everybody. because he says, no, I got this. Like, we saw it in that mm-hmm. preview.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's always saying that, right? But Jack's always has had a plan behind the back of his head. He doesn't now because this just all hit him. And he's got to reformulate another plan. And I don't think that, I wonder if he doesn't go back, he doesn't sit on what Unser said to him, which was, you've done wrong by your family, you've done wrong by those kids.
Honor Tara's plan for those boys.
Right. So now he's got two episodes to go back to, let's make it about getting the club out of guns, and but in a way that surprises us all, that probably won't be revealed to us the very last episode. I hope I'm not giving us, it's not a spoiler, you guys, because it's just a guess, but I feel like Jerry is going to be the mole, but he'll catch on to it at some point. They may work together. I feel like he's going to drive away on that bike, and I think that it's Tara's plan's going to come to fruition. I just do. I feel like, because we have two episodes left.
He would never side with Jerry over the club.
No, but he might have her number and say, what do you want? Well, I want this place cleaned up. Well, so do I. So can you live with us just running an escort service? Let's get back to my dad's plan. Tara's
I don't know
plan.
If she could, because she's but the I one who kicked say, this drug war into...
But we've got two episodes left. That's the thing. If it was one, I would say no. And plus, this preview gave us every indication that's going to be the contrary, which means that's too obvious.
Yeah.
So, and just like I said to you guys tonight, when he said, it's over, it's all over, when Juice said that, I said, ooh, that gives us hope. And you were like, no, what do you mean? Because he says it's all over, it's all over. I go, yes, because the obvious thing is that, yeah, it's all over. The obvious thing is Jax is going to go face mayhem. That's obvious. Two episodes left. We have Unser saying to him, you screwed up when you got away from Tara's plan. Now he knows everything was a lie. He gets to go back in his brain and say, oh my God, what was my father fighting for? What was Tara fighting for? And the reason he went away from the plan, we were going to get away from drugs and guns. We were going to go legit. We were getting into properties. And remember all the great things he was pursuing? Then when Tara got killed, he flipped the switch. He's like, I don't know right from wrong anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'm fighting for. It used to be about trying to get this club into, you know, legitimate business. But now I don't even know what it's about. And he just went on the warpath. But now that he's got time to figure out all that was a lie, he's got enough time to take this thing out of a nosedive.
Kev.
Even if it costs him his own life.
Kev.
All right.
I love you.
All right.
There are no happy endings in this story. There are no happy endings in this story.
Well, how can you
story?
Have a happy ending anyway when everyone's already been killed?
I'm not but everyone hasn't been killed.
But did you not feel good when Moses got killed last week?
Oh, 100%
so
I felt good.
So that's what I mean. So, you know, so it's always going to be ironic, but... So you really think that everyone's just going to die in this?
I don't know about everyone, but I think a good portion of the people that we love will be in body bags.
I did not say that that was not going to be the case.
I just think...
But I think that could die. I very well could agree that everybody could die, but I think there's going to be a greater good involved.
I'm just... You keep
and,
going...
And,
you
I
keep,
think, and I think that Jax is going to have a plan.
You keep going back to the school shooting episode. That, to me, is the statement. That to me is the statement.
Well, Sutter just chooses that the world is mad, we're all violent and crazy. And that, by the way, you might be right. That might be a statement. It's either A or B, but I just know that school shooting means something.
Okay. Thea, what do you think is happening in this next episode in the finale?
Oh, I don't even know. You know, honestly, the more you just went into detail about all of that, it just makes more and more sense.
Yes.
You know, I agree. I think that,
I mean,
you
I
know,
can be so wrong in two
but you know what? Honestly, it makes sense though. And I mean, they don't just throw those things out for no reason, like Gemma behind the fence or behind my, like, obviously they're putting those symbols out for something. Like, there's a reason why they do what they do. They don't just do it for no reason. And with the bike coming back, I mean, if it's not going to be Jax riding it, I mean, what is it there for?
I think
is
it's
it
there
left to the son.
I think it's there
it
for Abel to inherit.
Abel's not going to write it. But again,
that's obvious. Here's the ring from Gemma, from the Black Widow. Here's the ring. It's like the Wicked Queen. Here's the ring. It's so obvious that we're going that way that generally in writing, you throw the left hook, you throw the surprise.
I'm going to throw a left hook. I'm going to say something that's probably not going to happen. I'm just going to say, why not? Mm-hmm. The bike is foreshadowing of Jax's demise. The bike is, Jax is going to go out the same way JT went out, but instead it's going to be a faked death. I mean, if you think of it, if you think he gives the journals to Wendy that he's been writing, and he tells Wendy, because the difference between JT and Jax is that JT had Gemma, who if JT entrusted the journals to Gemma to publish, she wouldn't, and he has Wendy. He gives the journals to Wendy, they go out there, everyone reads them, the club. So Jax gets sentenced to mayhem, but they give him a choice of when. He takes the bat, he knocks out all his, he puts the ducks in the row. I don't know what's going to happen with Jerry. I think Jerry's going to play a part in Jax getting Gemma put in prison. And I think Jax fakes his death in the way that JT died. I think they're going to make it look like Jax killed himself in the way of JT dying as like a symbolic thing.
But and Gemma sits in prison thinking forever that her son is dead and it's her fault.
That her son's dead, and then, I mean, I think, I don't think Nero dies.
So, God, I hope not.
And I hope Chibs doesn't die.
Out of this episode, I don't see Nero dying. I see Nero being on that farm, and I think Jax meeting up with Nero a la Shawshank Redemption style. That's a happy ending. Though. That's a little bit.
There is no happy. This is the tragedy.
He's like, this is Sons of Anarchy.
Let's
people.
Not forget that Kurt Sutter cut his teeth on the shield, which ends with, to me, one of the most beautifully tragic endings ever.
Still
now,
it
did not it necessarily,
but
and
again,
this it did not necessarily involve a key
but
death.
The last thing writers want to do is follow,
yeah,
what
their mentors.
No, that follows what they've done in the past. So the shield. You know,
he didn't write that finale.
Okay, well, there you go. All the more reason why we can't pin that on him and say that he's going to end it this way.
All right, quick thought, really quick. What do you think is going to happen to Juice?
Wow. Again, too obvious to just kill him.
I think the same thing.
Too obvious to just kill him, you guys.
Matt?
No.
And he did such an ultimate... He did such an ultimate kind act... A selfless act at the end to admit he could have totally said, nope, it was the Chinese and I was there. Give me my jacket back.
It would be too obvious for the sons to kill him, but it is the Asians who now currently have him in their custody. The guard said that we just boarded the Orient Express. We're looking to make more business partners. We're bringing you the infirmary.
Right, because Jack said, kill him, just make it quick. Jack escaped the order to have him killed. But, again... Mm-hmm. Obvious.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now the Asians have him in their possession. They're going to torture him. He's got nothing left.
No, they're going to have him kill Tully.
And there you go. And there's another. Right here. High five. And there's another bad guy gone.
Yep. Asians, and then sons are going to take care of the rest of the Asians. While inside the prison, they're going to have Juice kill Tully as revenge, which Juice will be all for because, honestly...
He's been raped by him, like, sodomized for the last three episodes.
He's down to kill him.
Yeah. I mean,
look at us, Matt. We're just figuring stuff out for you.
I don't want
us to kill us.
I'm just like, I'm gonna sit back.
Let us drink our Kool-Aid. We're civilians. We're fans.
Do you see me arguing? I'm just sitting here with my mug. I'm just gonna watch my TV.
I think Jerry dies by the end of the season, and Eggly becomes the new sheriff.
Oh, real quick though, when was the last time Jax even wrote in his journal to give it to Wendy for it to make any sense?
He was on the roof two episodes ago.
But he wasn't writing. He was writing last season.
Right, so I mean,
even better, he shouldn't be writing this season.
Yeah, probably not.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he's just lost track of.
But he has. But now, but what I'm saying now, I think he's gonna.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna go. Oh my God! Mm-hmm. It goes to what Unser said to him. You guys.
Guys, we gotta wait 2 weeks for the next.
You got
episode.
Away from Tara's plan. Mm-hmm. That's where you screwed up, boy.
All right. Folks, I want to thank you so much for joining us this week on the Sons of Anarchy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another brand new episode talking about all the things that we can about Red Rose. Thea Trinidad, where can the people find you?
On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, I am Thea Trinidad TMT.
Okay. And we see you, you know, every now and again on a big TV show, don't we?
Yes. I pop up maybe on an Exotic Express on Monday Night Raw every now and then.
Hey-o.
All right.
So,
awesome.
Yeah.
And she is the only person that the Ryback is following.
All that and Yeah, I guess you could say. Yes, you're right, you're right.
Steven, where can the people find you?
Hey guys, you can find me here at AfterBuzz TV all the time, every time, or on our new network, Popcorn Talk, as well as Black Hollywood Live. You can also find me on the Sleepy Hollow After Show Tuesdays here at 11 p.m. Pacific Time, and on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux.
Okay, and Kevin?
At Undergaro, Instagram, sometimes Twitter, and Bar Rescue is when I have time.
Okay.
At AfterBuzz.
And you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can find all my videos for SourceFed, SourceFed Nerd, and my personal channel on YouTube, youtube.com/MatthewDLieberman. You can also find me here on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and on Sleepy Hollow. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.